Welcome and good morning. You're dialed into Global Time with Christ Jesus on this Wednesday morning. It's June 18th, 2014. And we thank the Lord, first of all, for this brand new day. This is a day that He has made, and of course, we're rejoicing in it. Thank God for you that you've taken your time out from other things that you could be doing to join us. Trust that you had a wonderful night of rest if you're in our zone, in our time zone. And I did. And I'm looking forward to this day and what God will do and reveal of Himself in this day. What will I learn today as He walks with me and with us throughout this day? Well, today our focus is on a question that I think it should be asked, and sometimes it's asked, and I've never heard it. I usually don't hear it discussed much. Excuse me. But it's a valid thought. And the question is, will God say no in response to our prayers? That's something to think about. I think you would agree. Will God say no in response to our prayers? And thinking about it, my immediate answer is yes. And there are reasons for that. Now, we almost never want to hear that, but it's true. I mean, we deal in truth, don't we? So when God says no, if in fact He does, and I'm saying yes, He does say no, there may be some reasons for unanswered prayer. The thing that we must always be humble to remember is that God is a loving God and is in control. Whether He says yes or no, it's out of His love. And there are many examples in the scriptures. I'd just like to point out a few of them quickly. One reason for Him saying no at times is because, number one, there's sin in our lives. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 66 and verse 18, said, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Not that God is unable to hear, because He's omniscient, He knows everything, but that He maintains His distance when we allow sin to be a wall between us and Him. And major disobedience sets us up for a long-term unanswered prayer. Here's what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 18. "When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." So Israel was about to do the opposite of what God wants, and so the prophet informs the people that if you go ahead and do what you propose to do, then you will cry out and God will not answer you in that day. That's because of sin, disobedience. Another reason, the second one, remembering that a loving God is in control. To say yes would bring us harm if we don't foresee. That's one reason why God would say no. That to say yes would bring us harm that we don't foresee. You remember that time you prayed for something, you really wanted whatever it was badly. You wanted a yes from God. You wanted God to make it happen. come to find out later that you're glad that it didn't. That's how God helps us and trains us. Yeah. There was a story about a woman who spent the summer away from her children and was quite anxious to get back to them. And then when she learned that all the rooms on a certain ship, this was going back in the day of steamers, you know, ships that cross the ocean. And when she learned that all the rooms on this certain ship or steamer were taken, she wept bitterly because she couldn't get a passage on any other ship. And she was detained, had to overstay 2 weeks in New York City. But the sorrow of being delayed was turned into thanksgiving when within a few days she learned that the vessel that she could not get onto sank to the bottom of the Atlantic. She didn't see the no as a wonderful answer to prayer until the whole story unfolded. Now that quite often is our experience. And so God does say no. I'd just like to give just one more example of why God may say no. One more point. We saw that if there's sin in our lives, that's number one, he will say no. Also, if he sees that a yes would bring us harm that we didn't foresee, he will say no. And the third and final one for this day is that God has something far greater in store for us. That's why he would say no. Here's the point. Here's an example. Mary and Martha wanted Jesus to heal Lazarus. They sent a message that, you know, Lazarus was having serious problems with health and that Lazarus had died. And they were disappointed that Jesus was not there because he was a visitor to their household frequently. And Jesus should have been there just when we needed him to heal Lazarus, keep him from dying. But here's what happened. God had resurrection in mind, not healing. We ask for help, but often sickness and suffering or something less than wealth is the best way to produce holiness and maturity in us. So just wanted to have us meditate on that thought for a moment, because often we approach prayer as if God is bound to answer it the way we would like to see it answer. And God is balanced. I think we can easily see that. So he's not only God of the yes, but he's also God of the no. He's loving God on the throne, and his no is as loving as his yes. So if you're waiting for a yes from God, you may want to allow him to have the freedom, at least in his relationship with you, to say no. See, he says no more often than we think. He's not only real, but he's real about everything he does. So these are some things that walking with God daily can teach you and I. Let us pray, shall we? Father, we come before your throne today with thanks. You are our God, and you are positioned in heaven, far above every principality and every power. You have all authority. And today we're thankful for so many things. We are thankful that your word is true and is established in heaven, according to Matthew 24 and verse 35. And that your mercies endure forever, according to Psalm 118 and 1. That your grace is sufficient for us, according to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. For your angels, we thank you, and for your protection, we thank you, according to Psalm 91. We thank you for your salvation, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life according to Revelation chapter 21 and 27. We are so thankful and praise you for that. We thank you, Father, today that everyone in our households are saved according to Acts 16 and 31. We dare to believe and to stand on that, that our entire clan, our entire tribe is saved. We thank you for your righteousness that is imparted to us according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. We are also thankful for your Holy Spirit, the inner voice, the inner witness, which is the candle of the Lord, that flame that burns 24/7 in our temple, in us, who are the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. We also thank you for sanctifying us daily in your word, according to John chapter 17 and verse 17, where Jesus prayed for us that we would be sanctified. Thank you for your peace, which passes all understanding, according to Philippians 4 and verse 7. We thank you for every battle that we face, for every problem, every challenge that we face, knowing that the battle is an opportunity to cause our revelation knowledge to become one solid rock, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Each and every battle is an opportunity for us to take root so that we can bear much fruit. We know that the trying of our faith turns into patience, causing us to form into perfect men and women, wanting nothing. Thank you that we can ask. We can ask you for whatever we will. And as long as we are connected to the vine, we have the petitions we ask for. Thank you for your provisions for us, as you supply all our needs according to your riches in glory, Lord. Thank you for divine prosperity. Thank you for your healing, healing in the past, the present, and the future, because you are Jehovah Rophi. Thank you for divine health. Thank you for physical and spiritual hearing, that the eyes of our hearts are open. We're seeing, feeling, smelling, and tasting. Thank you for the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the grass, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the plants, the plants that help our air, that satisfies our longing for a pleasant environment, the flowers, the animals, the mountains, the streams, and the valleys, and all the other wonderful things that you have created for us. And we often take these things for granted. Thank you for being present with us always. And thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, the prophetic, the discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. And we also want to ask you to cleanse us and to forgive us for all the transgressions, the iniquities that we've committed or guilty of, and for all the things that we did not do, all the sins of omission. We thank you for pointing them out, for causing our hearts to register where we've detoured. And you're beckoning and asking us to come back, and you're offering us forgiveness and a cleansing. You want to heal and to put us back together, and we accept your love and your kindness on this day. Thank you for the completed work of Jesus Christ, who is our Passover lamb. So death does not come near us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you on this day. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that our prayers resonated in each of our hearts today, and we do thank the Lord for this wonderful day, and we thank him for you for having joined us. Well, I've just made sure that you can be heard. Your line is open, and if you have a praise report or a prayer request, we would like to entertain that at this time. The time is racing on this Wednesday morning, and what an opportunity that we have, that we have this audience with our Creator, who is in control. And we're learning that he does sometimes say no. We could say yes to the fact that he says no at times. Hallelujah. So we must always, in our approach to prayer, never think that God would not say yes and just send us a no in his response to our prayers, because he is the only wise God. Hallelujah. Well, that was our prayer of thanksgiving, and just want to remind you that June 28th to July 27th, we will be praying. That's 30 days. It's the month of Ramadan for the Muslims, and they engage in their usual prayer, and in addition, they fast for 30 days. Well, how many know that God loves Muslims? Oh, yes, he does. Just like he loved us in our sin, while we were yet sinners, in the dark, he loved us. And his love goes out to all men. And so we want to agree with that truth, that his love goes to all men. And we are asked to pray for all men everywhere, not just individuals of a certain faith persuasion. We're to pray for all, for Christians, for Muslims, for Buddhists. We're to pray for all of them. That's God's word. And God is saying yes to that in case we had a question about whether we should or not. His word says yes. And so we're going to be praying for those 30 days, and we'll choose one or two nations that we know are Muslim. We'll take a quick look at the stats that describes that particular nation, and we will pray God's light penetrate in and among those cultures. The light of Jesus Christ, the Son, would penetrate. So that's something that we're leading up to. My personal plan is, and I will invite you, of course, it's not mandatory, but my personal plan is to fast, much like they would be doing, one meal a day, one small meal a day at the end of the day after sundown. Yeah, that's what I will be doing. So it looks like we could be eating, breaking fast, 8:30 in the evening. Because, you know, the days are long in our zone at this time. However, in balance to God's heart, listen to this, we want to begin to focus for the next 10 days or so on God's heart towards Jerusalem. Yes, God has a heart for Jerusalem. And he said in his word, he says, I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there. See that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 36, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 4, and so on. It's also in 2 Chronicles, and in fact it's there first, chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Solomon stood up and said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth by my father David. For he said, I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there. And that's how it's always going to be. So we thank God for that, and we want to keep Jerusalem squarely in our sights. We want to begin to think, why and what motivated God to put his name on this city in the first place? That's one question we want to meditate on. Another one was, were there times that this attachment brought him great joy? And if so, when might be some of those examples? When did this attachment, his heart's attachment to Jerusalem, bring him great joy? We may want to know again, where were his heart emotionally when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and the city that took the captives of Babylon, or rather to Babylon from Jerusalem? What was God's thinking when the Romans captured Jerusalem and held it for almost 400 years? What was it like for the Lord when the people of this city crucified his only begotten Son? Now you see, we're getting intimate and personal with the Lord, and this is what he wants. So we're going to be contemplating and meditating upon Jerusalem, because it's at the center of God's heart, more so than we have been taught or have been thinking. So Jerusalem goes right through the scriptures all the way to the 20th chapter of Revelation, where we see what happens there. So we praise God for Jerusalem. And let us pray now for that city. That's the city that God has foreordained, where his Son, Jesus Christ, will be seated and rule from. Imagine that. Jerusalem. It's not going to rule from Washington. It'll be ruling from Jerusalem. Every government has a seat. Think about it. We have a place of seating. Let us pray. Father, you have declared that if I forget you, O Jerusalem, that my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember Jerusalem. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Can a mother forget the baby nursing at her breast, or have no compassion on the child of her womb? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. We pray, O Yahweh, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity, O God. We who call upon the name of Yahweh will give ourselves no rest and will give you no rest till you establish Jerusalem and make her a praise in all the earth. Be blessed to hasten the day when all Israel will cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we pray in the strong name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Messiah, our risen, reigning, and we are sure returning Prince of Peace. Amen. That's our prayer for today on Jerusalem, that God would bless that city from where the throne of David will rule with Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior, sitting upon it. It's too awesome to imagine, particularly from the perspective of today's world, where there are wars and rumors of wars. Children against parents, parents against children, nation against nation. But in that day, the nations will beat their plowshares and their tools of wars into pruning hooks. The nations will be fruitful for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. What is your prayer request today? We're here for a time of agreement. We want to leverage the power of agreement. This is something that we are thankful for today. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of all of these minds and spirits. And we present ourselves giving you access to our temples. We thank you that on the doorposts of our hearts, the blood appears. And so death must pass over in the name of Jesus. Death must pass over. We thank you for the access that we have on this day, that we can come in boldly into your presence. We do come with thanksgiving. Thank you for this Wednesday morning. It's a gift. We were blessed and are blessed because you've given it to us. You did not hold back. You thought it not robbery that we would wake up, each and every one of us, on this day. We emerged from sleep, from slumber, to walk in a brand new day that you've given to us. We thank you for it. We're rejoicing. We hear and we see. And we move. And it's in you that we move and have our being, because you've given us this grand opportunity to be on the stage of life, to show forth your glory. We thank you. We bless your name even now. We thank you for all that have joined us on this day. We thank you for all of those that would be listening later. They would be streaming this prayercast. And Father, in whatever time zone they're in, whatever part of the earth, this great earth that you have created, wherever they are, that we pray the light of your grace and mercy would reach them on this day. Father, we pray especially for every person that is lacking the light and the grace that we know of, because you have brought us and drawn us to yourself. Father, we ask for the salvation of souls today that are hungered and thirsty. Some of them do not know for what, but you know what they thirst and hunger after. And we know. We know that they shall not be satisfied until they come to the fountain of life and walk through the door and come into the way. And that is the door and the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that you all can sup with them and them with you. We pray today that the missionaries and the means by which the gospel reaches individuals today would be effective, would be successful for your name's sake, that they will find salvation, find life through Jesus Christ. So we thank you right now for hearing our prayer. And we know, Father, that we are praying according to your will, according to your heart's desire. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I trust that you're believing God for your prayers to be answered, and you're positioning yourself for your prayers to be answered. Your heart's desire. We do have personal desires that we want God to oversee. And as sure as the sun comes up today, and it's up, it's shining brightly, the skies are blue with a smidgen of clouds there to give us a wonderful artistic rendering of God's glory in nature. And so we thank God for this day and for the opportunity that we've had to come before Him. And so I trust that your day today will be one of victory. Let us share a benediction of what I believe God wants us to remember. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, in the second part of that verse, it says, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So let us make sure all things glorify Him today, and that He gets the praise, because He has dominion forever and ever. And to that, we could say amen. God bless you on today. As you go through this wonderful day, may every step be right in His footsteps. May God bless you richly on this day. We thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to coming together again with you mañana. That's tomorrow. Praise God.